Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sworn to the Shadow God by Ruby Dixon, narrated by Gillian Macy. Prologue. Ragos. Ragos the Undying, Lord of the Dead and ruler of the underworld, sat on his throne and drummed his fingers with irritation at his anchor. Sniveling fool. The man in question, a mortal now granted eternal life by tethering to Ragos as his conscience, was currently sitting on an ornately carved chair across the room, pretending to read a book. Every so often, he would sniff and swipe at his eyes, and Ragos knew all he had to do was glare at the man, and he would turn into a quaking, shivering mess. Had he always been so spineless? So pathetic? Clearly, when Ragos had been trapped in his mortal form, he'd simply taken the first mortal that volunteered, not the one best suited for the job. Or perhaps he'd wanted a mortal that was obedient. This one certainly was. He didn't have a disobedient thought in his head. Or a clever one. Or a unique one. And therein lay the problem. Eternity was a very, very long time to be saddled with a nitwit. He drummed his fingers on the arm of his throne again, thinking. In the distance, the songs of the souls were a soothing cacophony at the back of his mind. He could focus in on any one of those thousands of voices and know their boring history, know their boring life, their bland and too mortal innermost thoughts. He could raise them up, pluck them from the various circles of the underworld, and make them part of his eternal court. And then they would simper and grovel and kiss his boots and do whatever he asked, simply because he asked it. Because he was Ragos, and everything after death was his domain, his to command, his to oversee according to the rules of the High Father. For some reason, that bothered him more and more with every day that passed. Not that days mattered in the underworld, but mortals thought in that manner, and he'd taken it on out of habit. How many days had passed since he'd returned from the anticipation? Which aspect of himself had succeeded? He wasn't entirely sure. He'd asked to be left with the memories of that humiliating time. But looking at the pathetic anchor he was saddled with, and his current displeasure, he wondered if somehow the flaw of apathy had managed to persevere. Which meant he would be like this until the next anticipation. If there ever was one. The High Father had established new rules for his 12 to rule over Eos, though. He'd decided it would be better for them to keep their touch on humanity, and thus, an anchor would be their constant companion in this realm, as well as the human one. Ragos hated it. He hated being told what to do, hated being forced to be around the puling idiot who had somehow managed to remain as his anchor. Yet he couldn't get rid of the fool. Because of their tether, they had to stay in close proximity to one another. Close proximity. To an idiot he hated. For all eternity. Surely his brother Kalos would laugh and laugh hard at Ragos's irritation. He could hear his brother's mocking laughter in his head even now. Kalos would not simply settle for the anchor he'd been given. He would sneer at such a thought. Kalos would find what the rules were and bend them to his needs. And so, Ragos would take a page from his brother's book. He got to his feet, his black robe swirling as he stood. His anchor stood as well, a look of fear on his pale face as he clutched the book to his chest. "My lord?" The Lord of the Dead looked over at his anchor. He stared at him for a long moment, thinking.
Tell me something, Varian.
Varius, actually. He raised a hand to cut off the man's trembling voice.
I did not ask to be corrected. I asked to be entertained.
And he waited. The mortal's eyes went wide. He glanced around him, as if the other ghostly nobles that filled the halls of the dead would be of some assistance. When they avoided eye contact, he swallowed hard, his thin neck working, and spoke.
Would you like a story?
About?
The gods?
Ragos knew all the stories of the gods. He'd lived them. Fighting the urge to roll his eyes, Ragos pulled his hood over his face and took his leave from his throne room. The anchor attempted to follow. Ragos raised a hand.
I do not require you.
He strode away, ignoring the irritating pull that reminded him he was leaving his anchor too far behind. Time and space could be warped in the underworld, and as a result, his anchor had to stay even closer than most. A dark scowl creased his divine features. Was he not the god of the dead? The lord of the underworld? Why must he bow to so many rules even in his own domain? It was ridiculous. It was not to be borne. He needed a solution. He paced the halls of his keep, looking for ways to solve this problem. It was a small one, as far as divine problems went, but an irritating one that seemed to grow larger by the day. He thought of that buffoon, Aaron of the Cleaver, who'd given back the eye he'd stolen from Ragos millennia ago in exchange for his anchor. A female with pale blonde hair and a lean figure. She hadn't even been beautiful or well-spoken, but there had been something about her that had entranced Aaron to the point that he was willing to wage war on the gods to retrieve her. That intrigued Ragos. What would it be like to have a companion that one actually wanted to spend time with? That one valued the words coming from his or her mouth. He'd met Aaron's female, kept her in his realm for a time because she was dead and thus part of his domain. Before Aaron had stormed his gates, demanding her back. He'd found her curious. She was unafraid of Ragos, unafraid of Aaron, and so full of a certain spark that he couldn't stop thinking about her. He'd gotten his eye back, his vision whole once more. But sometimes he wondered if he'd made a poor trade. What would it be like to have a companion? A real companion? Someone that would have actual conversations with him instead of simply telling him what he wished to hear. Someone that would look at him with welcome in their eyes. Someone that would smile when he walked into the room. Someone that was a friend and lover both. Someone to ease the lonely ache in his soul. He thought about Aaron's anchor a lot. Far too much, perhaps. Not that he wanted that particular mortal for fucking. If he wanted to fuck, Balara, goddess of beauty, would welcome him. Any of his subjects would gladly take his cock and act as if it was their duty. Perhaps that was it. Duty irritated him. Where was the free will, the spirit that he'd seen in Aaron's anchor? He wanted that. He needed that. Ragos needed a new anchor, he decided. He could banish his current one to the depths of the pit of the betrayers, even though he'd been loyal. The underworld was Ragos's to command, after all. But the agony of their stretched tether would pain him, and Ragos would still be bound to the idiot. No, there had to be something else that could be done. But what? He walked his keep, thinking, and still no answer came to him. When he found himself back in his throne room, The court had made itself scarce, disappearing to avoid his foul mood. Only Varayas remained, as pale and trembling as ever. He raised a hand and sent him to the pit anyway, simply for being irritating. Anchor on his humanity be damned. If the High Father wanted him to be kinder and gentler, then he needed a damned reason. And Varayas was not it. When Ragos remembered the mortal that Aaron had come crashing to his door to retrieve, he remembered not just the female, but Aaron's reaction to her. Aaron had been the battle god of Eos since nearly the dawn of time, back when the mortals were little more than a crude tribe here and there. He'd become as jaded as Ragos and the others, perhaps more so. But when he'd seen the mortal waiting for him, when he'd heard her squeals of delight at the sight of him, he'd cracked. For the first time, Ragos had seen pure and utter joy in one of his brethren. Ragos hungered for that. Fucking envied that. He wanted that joy. He wanted to care about something so very much that it drove him mad. Right now, he did not care about much of anything. Had to be the aspect of apathy that had won. Damn all the luck. How to get that joy, he wondered. He couldn't simply steal the woman away from Aaron. Not only would he likely lose his eye again, but he'd felt nothing for her. He'd had her in his clutches for weeks, and she'd inspired nothing but curiosity and a hint of confusion. This was the creature that Aaron was storming the underworld for? He fingered the deep scar across his face, the one from when he'd lost his eye. He had his eye back, but he kept the scar as a reminder of the past. It did not pain him, but Ragos rubbed it anyhow, thinking. Perhaps he could lean on one of the other gods who had returned. Steal their anchor if the mortal proved to be more pleasant and entertaining than his own. His brother Kalos would assist him in this, provided that Ragos did not attempt to steal his own anchor. Brothers they may have been, but gods were also incredibly possessive. Kalos would want something from him, though. Brothers though they were, Kalos only sought out Ragos when he could use him. Perhaps in centuries past, Ragos would have gone along with such plans, but he'd tired of them, and of being used, and so he avoided his brother entirely. He thought of who else had returned. Magra. But the harvest goddess was useless to him. Vor, lord of the seas, not a friend. Gental of the family would likely have some sniveling idiot, or worse, a mother with 20 children, hitched to him, and the idea was unappealing to a one. Perhaps one of Tedeka's crystal-crusted handmaidens, or Belara, though he had no idea if either of the goddesses had returned. Besides, Belara would have picked a male, and Ragos was far more interested in a female. He thought of Aaron and his blonde anchor, the way she'd flung herself at him and twined her legs around his waist. That had hinted at far closer a relationship than mere companions. He definitely wanted a female. Kasam was long gone. Anali would be a bore, and the Spidey. Rumor had it that they had a lovely and willing anchor. Now there was a thought. Ragos flung himself up from his throne, crossing the long pillared hall that was now empty of souls. His footsteps echoed on the stone floors, and the walls seemed to vibrate with his sense of purpose. At the far end of the Hall of Souls was his own web, stretched between two pillars, that allowed him to contact the Spidey and other gods in their realms. The threads of the Spidey were magic, able to span space and time, and Ragos brushed his fingers over them now, strumming them like a harp. He waited. The threads shimmered. A picture focused, and a pretty female with dark skin and a thick braid came into view. She wore a crimson dress that made a bright contrast to her flesh, and her hands moved back and forth as if sewing. She had not yet noticed him, so he studied her. This was their anchor, then. Her form was shapely, and he wondered if she was intelligent, clever. He wondered how one took an anchor from another god. He still had to get rid of the problem of his own anchor. Even now, there was a dull pain burning in the back of his mind, where he'd sent Varius away, and the stretch of their tether was giving him a headache. He'd have to retrieve the fool soon enough. A figure garbed in white paused by the female, and she looked up, smiling. It was one of the Spidae, and Ragos watched as he caressed her face with an almost careless touch. Except that at the last moment, he brushed his fingertips over her mouth, and she shivered, her smile growing wider. Then the pale eyes of the Lord of Fate focused on him.
"You cannot have this one."
Ragos frowned, arms crossed over his chest. He had said nothing.
"She belongs to us."
The Spidae swept forward, all fluttering pale clothing and even paler skin. He gave Ragos an imperious look through the view of the web, stepping carefully in front of the female and obscuring Ragos's view.
"You have an anchor."
"Precisely my problem," Ragos bit out. "And if you know so much, then you must know of my problem."
"Is it a problem, or do you simply see it as one?"
He gritted his teeth. They loved to answer questions with more questions, a rather irritating tactic.
"Do not play your games with me. I do not have the time or the patience."
"The problem with you, Lord of the Dead,"
the Spidae continued in his hollow, toneless voice,
"is that you see this as a game, a manipulation. You see my answers as more questions, but you do not realize that every question you ask has multiple answers. It is up to you to see the one that you want."
His pale eyes stared through the web at Ragos.
"You know what I want," he stated again. "I want
to change the outcome of the anticipation, to have a new anchor, to reverse time."
He reached into the air and pulled a thread out of nothing, a faint smile on his face.
"They are all one and the same in this instance, Brother Ragos."
He bit back a snarl of irritation. The Spidae were not his brothers, save in godhood. And yet, he was getting somewhere.
"What do you mean?"
"You know what I mean."
"I can have a new anchor," Ragos asked.
Now that the idea had been planted, he couldn't unsee it. Yes, he didn't want the pretty girl the Spidae had, or even Aaron's bright-eyed blonde. He wanted a companion that was wholly his own, that would be suited to him. A companion that was not Varius. He wanted someone who would look at him as if he were more than just death. Someone who saw him.
"Can you?"
When Ragos snarled at the web and raised a hand to tear it down from the pillars, the Spidae spoke again.
"You had four a short time ago."
He lowered his hand once more.
"Four? You know how the anticipation works, do you not?"
That was a rude question, so he ignored it. He did know how the anticipation worked. It was the bane of every god's existence, the punishment of the High Father for imagined sins, or for simply being poor at one's job. It was when the gods were gathered from their realms in the ether and cast down to the mortal landscape of Eos, forced to dwell without powers in mortal-seeming bodies. each god's personality was split into four aspects, facets of the things the High Father wished to eradicate from their essence: apathy, hedonism, lies, and arrogance. Spending time with the mortals would improve each returned god for the better, or so the High Father thought. It would make them feel more in touch with their subjects. Fucking rubbish. All it made Ragos want to do was burn the entire mortal realm to the fucking ground.
"I know how it works," he gritted out. "I just went through the anticipation."
"Then you know how to get another anchor, do you not?"
He frowned at the Lord of Fate, resisting the urge to tear the web from its moorings.
"You can release mine, unbind our threads."
If he was in the mortal realm, he could swap anchors by simply releasing the tether. But the High Father had bound this eternal tether, and Ragos was trapped to it.
"We will not. If you require a chance, you must go through the anticipation."
Ragos growled, the sound echoing in the empty chamber.
"I have already been through it. Am I not back in my own realm?"
He flung his arms out, gesturing at his chamber. "That foolishness is done." The Spidey regarded him coldly. Eventually, he raised a hand in the air and moved it, as if tracing a long line. A glimmering thread appeared between his fingers, and he toyed with it for a moment before holding it up to show Ragos.
"Behold, if I hold the thread here,"
he pinched one end,
"or here,"
he pinched the middle,
"or here,"
he touched the end.
"Does that change the thread itself, or is it still the same thread, no matter where I grasp it?"
Was this a trick of some kind? He studied the fate, knowing that there was an answer of some sort in this question.
"Explain your riddle."
The Spidey sighed heavily.
"Fate is like time. Time is like fate. The web is interwoven, and the strings cross one another in the ways that they should. But a thread can be moved and adjusted, teased into a new home, or a new place, a new time."
He gave Ragos a meaningful look.
"Now do you understand?"
He was beginning to.
"You can move my thread," he declared. "Send me back through the anticipation so I can change the outcome, change the anchor I am stuck with."
The elegant pale head inclined.
"It is so."
Go through the anticipation again? Horrendous. It was not to be borne. But he thought of the female Aaron had, the one with laughter in her eyes and the complete lack of fear. The way she'd greeted the Lord of Storms with her entire being, legs twining around him. Hunger ripped through him. An eternity with someone like that. Or with Varius. He gritted his teeth, hating the answer.
"If I must, I must. You can do this for me?" "It will require some adjustments."
He smiled thinly.
"But this will be done in exchange for a favor."
There was always a favor. No one simply talked to death. They always wanted something.
"Of course," Ragos sneered. "But I do not want to go into the anticipation blind and helpless. I want to be prepared."
He thought for a minute.
"And I want to choose the aspect I inhabit."
Hedonism would be the most pleasant way to pass the turmoil, if he must pass through it again. hedonism with the pretty, spark-eyed female at his side?
No, the choice is not yours to make. It has already been made.
Ragos clenched his jaw. How can it be made if I have not yet agreed? The spy day smiled mysteriously.
You will agree.
What about the female?
Yours has already been decided. She will be pulled, her thread maneuvered once yours is.
I want to pick her for myself.
She has already been chosen. You have already selected her.
He was going to grind his teeth into powder at this rate.
I have selected nothing. Have you not? Do you wish to change all of the results then?
He made it sound as if it were done, as if he had seen it all already. And perhaps he had. Time was fate. Fate was time. A pinch at the top or the bottom of the thread did not change it. Interesting. So if he had already chosen, and had already agreed to this, then the companion...
Where is she? I want to meet her before I agree to this.
Her thread cannot be pulled into this web until it is time. To toy with it now could damage it.
He narrowed his eyes.
Pull her thread into this web?
The Spidey gave a cold smile.
Have I said too much?
He arched an eyebrow.
Or have I intrigued you?
He considered this and began to pace. Rago stormed back and forth in his hall, not caring if the Spidey waited on him. If time was fate, he could wait forever, and it wouldn't matter. He had to think. There was something about this that bothered him, something that did not sit well. He thought for a moment, and then turned on his foot, regarding the web and the cool, expressionless immortal that stared back at him through it.
You're far too eager for this.
He'd only spoken in half riddles, after all. The Spidey inclined his head.
Your instincts are correct.
With narrowed eyes, Ragos approached the web once more. Behind the Spidey, he could see into the tower itself. The dusky-skinned woman in the red skirt sat in her chair, sewing. But he could see she paid attention to the Spidey as he talked to Ragos. Behind them, webbing covered the wall, and if he stared hard enough, he could pick out gleaming threads of gold amongst the tangle of pale, colorless threads.
Pull her into this web.
That meant she was not currently in this web. She would be pulled from elsewhere. Like Aaron's anchor? Now he was intrigued. He wanted a curious, bold female like that for himself. But if the Spidey were far too eager, so he made his expression calm.
What do you propose?
The Spidey spread his hands.
Just what we have said. I will send you back to the beginning of the last anticipation. You will choose your anchor, and the strings will be interwoven as they should be. The anchor you desire will be at your side, instead of your current one, and no one needs to know of this manipulation save us.
No one needed to know. That meant they were breaking their own rules. Ragos tilted his head.
And what do you want from me?
You know.
The Spidey's eyes glittered. For once, they were not cool and impassive. They grew hard and fierce. He could guess.
You want me to swear I will never touch your pretty mortal, is that it? Keep her safe from the hand of death? Ensure that she never enters my realm?
Again, the Spidey inclined his head.
And for your brother to swear he will never give her his dark caress. No death, no disease. You are fate. Fate.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?